This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And good morning. Welcome to The Gardening Show right here on B107.5. And I am Igor. With me, as always, is the Master Gardener himself, Bob Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Igor.
All right. Well, it's certainly taken a cold turn overnight, hasn't it?
yeah, hasn't it, though?
We both showed up in long sleeves, like in jackets. But you know what? I'm not complaining at all.
Yeah, me neither.
No way. So
needed that break pretty bad.
Absolutely. Phone lines are open if you have any questions. Doesn't matter what we're talking about or the topic. You make your own topic. You're why we're here, right?
That's right. Yep.
So 368-9372 is the phone line. And we're on Facebook Live. You can comment on there. And you can always send us an email, garden@wesb.com. Take it away, Bob. What's on your mind today? What's on your mind?
I was just looking at that.
This is just an old...
that's an old email.
Old email,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I got a question from a guy I know that may affect a lot of people here. So he had to have two large ash trees removed from his yard. They died, as a lot of ash trees have. I think most people are aware of the emerald ash borer that's attacking the trees and killing them. But there are other borers too that go after the ash. So once you do chop down or cut down a large tree, doesn't matter if it's ash, maple, oak, doesn't matter. All of a sudden, you've exposed that area to a lot of sunlight that it's not used to. And that's his problem. It says now that he's got the two ash trees down, there's large patches of brown grass. And sawdust and chunks of wood laying all over his yard. So he's asking, what can he do? Has he lost his yard forever now? And you haven't, John. Number one, you got to clean up all that debris that's there. And you got to rake up that sawdust. Because as that sawdust lays there and starts to deteriorate or rot down or decompose, however you want to state it, it robs the soil of nitrogen. And grass needs a lot of nitrogen. So it will affect the grass. It won't kill it, but it can affect it. So rake all that stuff up and get it off the lawn. Number two is it's just a natural thing that's going to happen. Now, there are corrections I'm going to mention that's going to happen. You've exposed the grass to sunshine now that it's not used to. So a lot of it's going to brown. It's not dead. It's just brown because it's not used. It's getting sunburned. Just like if you took a house plant from a shady area of your house and took it right outside, it would look like it's dying. It's getting sunburned. Now, so you can be patient and just wait and see what happens. And when I mean patient, it may take a year or 2 years for that grass to adjust to the sunlight. All plants can adjust to sunlight by doing a chemical change in their system. They can adjust.
I was going to say, it probably just needs to acclimate, right?
Yeah, acclimate is a good term.
Yeah.
Or sometimes grass, just like any other plant, there are grasses that prefer shade and there are grasses that prefer sun. And under these old ash trees, they had to be old if they were 90 feet tall, a type of grass called fescue had probably taken over in that area, and it can withstand shade. As a matter of fact, it even prefers the shade. And some of the grasses that prefer sun, like rye and Kentucky bluegrass, they enjoy the sun. But they've probably have died off in that area, and the fescue has taken over. Now, they all look the same to most of us, so you can't really tell the difference. So by just waiting out the ryegrass and the Kentucky bluegrass will infiltrate that area and take over. Or even the fescue can adapt to more sunlight over time and start to green up. But for me, and maybe for you too, John, is I can't wait like that. So what I would do is overseed the area now with a sun-loving grass seed and make sure it's labeled on the package for sun areas. I'd wait till fall, like September. That's a great, great month to grow grass in September, from seed especially. The temperature is cooler. It gets a little damper. Of course, we've been damp with the humidity, mm-hmm. but we'll get a little more rains and heavier dews. And that's what grasses like. They like cool, damp conditions. A lot of us, even without a tree shade in the area, are having brown grass because grass does not like hot, dry conditions. Out west in the prairie, that grass does, but that's a totally different grass. What we're growing in our lawn is a really man-made product, and it's even not native to America. So it enjoys cool, damp conditions, and so as it gets closer to September or into September, it makes it ideal time to overseed, what we call overseed. And that's just spreading seed over the top of a really short cut lawn. First of all, we want to cut the lawn as short as we possibly can. Now, yeah, that's even going to make it browner, but it's not going to kill it. And then we can overseed, because once we overseed and water it in, we're going to have to let it set for a couple, 2 to 3 weeks, so it has a chance to germinate, even longer if you can wait. Wait up to a month.
Now, when you overseed like that, do you still need to put straw or anything on there?
No, you don't need to. No. Not if you already have grass. A lawn there that's all brown. That's acting as the straw for you.
Oh, okay.
But it's going to be important that you put the grass seed down, and maybe even a good idea to do a little lime application and a starter fertilizer for your lawn. And then water it in real heavily so that knocks that seed through the grass down to the soil. That's going to be important. It may even be beneficial that after you've sowed it and watered it in real heavy to take a roller, if you have one, to roll that and press that seed right down into contact with the soil. A little more success that way. Not totally necessary, but will be helpful. We can just sow the seed, water it in real heavy, lime and fertilize if we think we need it, and then wait and keep it wet. Got to keep it wet. So that may mean watering every day if we have a dry fall. It may mean watering every couple, 2 or 3 days. So good idea to set up some sprinklers, keep that area wet. That's the secret to growing grass, is those first few weeks of keeping it wet. If it gets wet and starts to germinate and then dries out, then all of it's lost.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah.
So it's real important that you plant it that way, too. And, you know, don't go scattering all that grass seed around, watering it, and then go on vacation for 2 weeks, because you're probably going to lose most of it.
I wrote that all down. Did you notice?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah.
I have some patches that I need to, yeah, that's a really good idea.
So that can revive that lawn two different ways, either by overseeding in the fall or just waiting out. Time will correct itself. And the grass will green up where those big ash trees once were.
All right.
So I hope that was helpful for you. And I've seen, it seems to me that there's been a lot of tree removal this year all around town. So I think it's going to affect a lot of people. And again, patience or overseeding will be very beneficial. Happened to me a couple of years ago. I had to have a big maple removed. And, of course, right away, that was beautiful green grass underneath that tree. And all of a sudden.
Quite the change.
Yeah, quite the change. Yeah. All a bunch of brown grass and thin even. I've corrected the problem. And so that's what you do with these ash trees.
And clean it up, like you said.
So clean up all the debris. That's very important. But to talk about the ash borer, there are ways to take care of an ash borer, but there are other borers too, not just the emerald ash borer. There are other brown ash borers too that attack ash trees. And they don't usually attack a tree that's 6-inch diameter of the trunk. At about waist height, the trunk across 6-inch diameter. That's too small of a tree. They need a larger tree to go in and feed and make sure there's going to be enough food source there for a couple more generations. So they don't attack the younger trees, but they do attack larger trees. But there are chemical ways to protect those trees. And, of course, one of my favorites is made by Bayer, the people that make aspirin, or the same name anyhow. And it's a systemic insecticide. It's one you'll mix with water, pour it, or water it in around the base of the tree where you think the feeding roots are. And that's usually out at the drip line, not near the trunk. That's out further, but still in the shade of the tree. You water it in, the tree will absorb it. That chemical will remain in the tree for up to a year. And it, of course, will kill off anything that tries to attack that tree. So that's one way to take care of it. And of course, there are arborists out there that can inject the chemical into the tree also. That can be kind of costly. And it's and then, of course, it's a process that you'll have to do either way forever.
Oh, wow.
Because the emerald ash borer is here probably forever. But that that they can be protected, or they can you can just sit and wait it out like some of us are doing. The emerald ash borer doesn't seem to like all ash trees. Some just have a natural ability to make it distasteful for the emerald ash borer, so they stay away from those ash trees.
And that's their only source? They only go after the ash tree, or can they be a problem with anything else?
It seems as though, so far, from what I know, they only attack the ash tree.
Wow, okay.
And it can be quite devastating. There's been millions upon millions of trees killed in Pennsylvania and Ohio and in Michigan from the emerald ash borer. Which we've gone through this before with the elm, the American elm tree, the chestnut tree. Something always eventually comes along. But have faith, though. Nature will correct it. You know, some elms survived, and some chestnuts have survived, and I'm sure that some ash trees will survive. Now, it's bad news, though, the Louisville Slugger Company.
Oh.
They get a lot of their tree material, ash trees, wow, from Pennsylvania. And of course, they've had to change some of their processes. A lot of batters now are switching over to maple. This has nothing to do with gardening.
Well, but it's interesting. It's trees. Yes, sure. Of course it does.
Yeah.
So
years ago, me and my wife had a chance to go tour the Louisville Slugger factory and museum, and we learned quite a bit about that. And luckily, though, there are groves of ash trees that are being protected, so we can continue to make baseball bats out of ash. But a lot of baseball players are converting over to maple, maybe they'll discover some other tree too that by cutting it the right way, you can produce a bat that will be equivalent and maybe even better than ash.
Our phone lines are open, 814-368-9372. If you'd have a question for Bob. Anything lawn, tree, or flower related?
Yeah.
Garden, vegetables. My goodness. You should see my neighbor's garden. Even my garden looks halfway decent.
It does.
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, it does indeed, yes.
But it really came to life in the last week. So, yeah. So if you have any questions, please give us a call or an email, garden@wesb.com, or you can leave a comment on our Facebook Live. We'll be right back with more Gardening Show after these words. Just 30 seconds. Hang on. Okay. Not too bad. B107.5.
If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. Still working on your summertime projects? They have a big selection of patio slabs, and prices are coming down on treated lumber. So now's the time to buy at Worth W. Smith. Still great prices on room air conditioners, too. Just arrived a new shipment of men's Carhartt clothing. And for the canning season, you'll find all sizes of canning jars and other canning supplies. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
See, not too bad at all.
Yeah.
30 seconds. And we're back with more Gardening Show on WESB. 75 years of serving Bradford. And by the way, we gave away a bunch of our commemorative 75th anniversary shirts.
All right.
Yesterday at Festa Italiana.
Oh, good.
Which
good.
That continues today as well. So looking forward to maybe getting back out there and taking part in all the festivities. What perfect weather for it, though, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm really glad because, you know what was going on the last couple of years.
Yeah.
It was devastating. And some people thought it wouldn't come back, but
yeah.
It is. They are dedicated to the tradition of Festa Italiana and couldn't be happier. So
thank goodness.
Yeah. So we are back with the Gardening Show. Phone lines are open. And what else is on your agenda today to talk about?
I wanted to mention, last week we had the garden tour. And that was very successful. Everybody got to enjoy 12 very nice gardens. Not very nice, spectacular gardens.
Yeah, very nice. No, it needs to be the top of the top.
Yeah, it's not only just something to look at. I'm sure a lot of us learned something too from that, and just made it an enjoyable day. And then the gala after was really well attended. Terrific amount of people. So. Kudos to all those that put that together. That was really very nice. Can't wait for the next year.
Oh, good. Glad to hear that was a success.
But I was talking about the ash tree and the ash borer. So it just brings to mind, another insect pest that's been in the news a lot. And that's the spotted lantern fly that's been creeping its way our way. And it likes to attack many different plants.
Now, are these all not native?
Yeah, they're not native. Yeah.
That, okay.
Yep. Not native. Boy, we get a lot of those imports. They somehow make it over here and start to attack our plant material.
Mm.
But believe me, there are a lot of scientists, gardeners, experts on the lookout for this and discovering what to do and when to do it.
So top people are on the job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, we go up to Lake Erie quite often, and up there is a lot of vineyards and orchards all up and down the lake shore. Mm-hmm. And my biggest concern was what's going to happen when spotted lanternfly finally arrives, because its number one food source is grapevines.
Oh, no.
But it will attack just about any plant. And so I did a lot of research. I asked a lot of questions up there around the lake, and surprised to me that there are a lot of tools in the horticulture tool bag mm-hmm. that can eradicate these bugs. Or at least keep them at bay.
Even the non-native ones that
they
behave similarly to what they're used to, I guess. So they already know how to battle them.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Thank goodness. So my concern at one time was what's going to happen when the lanternfly does reach all these vineyards. I thought, my gosh, some of these towns are going to become ghost towns.
Right.
No, they're not.
Okay, good.
Like I said, big companies, and I'll mention one there, Welch's from up along there. They own, you know, tons and tons of vineyards. They are on it. They know what to do, when to do it, how to do it. So it was
basically a pesticide that works on them as well.
Yeah. And some of the pesticides they're going to use are the ones that we use in our garden all the time. Mm. They're as safe as can be. We're not going to destroy the earth by spreading pesticides, but we are going to protect some of these towns, some of these growers, some of these companies from going under.
Yeah.
So it was good news to me to hear this, that we have a way to protect our agriculture.
Good. So we're just not sitting ducks waiting for this invasion of the, what kind of flies were they called?
They're called spotted lanternfly.
And what do they look like? Are they a lot different than the flies we're used to seeing? Or?
Yeah, they have different stages of life. When they're in their flying stage, they're kind of a brown moth with red underneath with black dots. So they show up very easily. They're not going to be like any moth you've ever seen.
So it's more of a moth than a fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it turns into the egg, and then the egg hatches into a nymph, which is a crawler. It doesn't fly. And it will be mostly a orangish red with black dots in it. And, of course, they can be transported like all insects. You know, mm-hmm. they can come into this area on a car where a nymph may have landed or a moth. It can be transported from firewood. That's why there's such strict rules about transporting firewood. They also like to attach to trains.
Oh, wow.
And so if you have a railroad through your town, you know, you mm-hmm. just got to be real leery of watching to make sure. And if you do see the spotted lanternfly, it's a good idea to squish it, they recommend, and then report it right away to the Pennsylvania Agriculture or the County Cooperative Extension report. That's very important so they can get on it immediately. The sooner they get on it, the sooner they can eradicate the problem.
What part of the earth, I guess, or the country did these come from?
Oh, I think they, I'm not positive, but I think they came from China.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it was through shipping.
I was going to say.
Yeah, China or somewhere in Asia.
Because I don't think there's too many trains coming here from China.
No. but you know, through shipping, you know.
That's how they spread throughout the country then, once they're here from overseas. Okay.
Yeah. Like everything, you know, it just spreads so easily because we are just one world. Everything moves all over this world. So be aware of the spotted lanternfly. Look it up. And report it if you do see one. This is really important. We don't want to see a lot of people losing plant material or have to go out there and spray like big agriculture will.
Now, do they, you mentioned grapevines and what, apple?
Orchards.
Is there anything around here in our just regular backyard gardens to worry about?
Yeah, they will attack just about any tree.
Anything that has a leaf?
Yep, anything that has a leaf.
Okay.
And has this, they like to attach and suck the juices out of a plant. So it really doesn't matter what plant it is. You can find them on just about any plant.
Oh, okay. Well, good to know.
So it's just good to be aware, you know. You're going to know them right away because they're pretty colorful. So look for that, especially in the nymph stage. You might see them crawling up and down the trunk of a tree, that bright colored orangish red with black dots, funny looking bug.
Mm-hmm.
Squash it. Squash it. Yep. That's the first recommendation is to squash them right away and then report them.
Very good. Good information. 368-9372 is our phone number if you'd have a question for the master gardener himself, Mr. Bob Harris. Also, we have our email, garden@wesb.com, and you can make a comment on our Facebook Live stream right now, and we can talk to you that way as well. What else is going on today that you'd like to talk about?
Still a great time to plant new plants. A very good time, really. Matter of fact, getting this time of year and in the fall is my favorite time to plant a plant, because the plant needs are usually a little reduced this time of year. They're just starting to relax and prepare for the winter, so they're not really actively growing and have a lot of needs for food, water, and so on. So this is a great time to plant, and so I want to explain some of my favorite ways to plant, especially in Bradford, because of our ground we have here. We have a little bit of topsoil, and then we turn to clay, and then underneath that clay is shale or hard pan, we call it. And, of course, most plants don't want to grow in the clay, and they don't want to grow in the hard pan. So we usually have to dig that up, amend it. I know a lot of sites recommend if you're going to plant a tree or shrub, just dig the hole and put it in the native soil. But around here, our native soil isn't real great for plant material. There are areas around here, especially in the low-lying areas, that were floodplains at one time that have nice deep soil. I've dug up a few places in Bradford that the soil was 3 foot deep even before I hit clay.
Wow.
Yeah, those people are really blessed.
That's rare, yeah. Isn't it? I mean, everywhere I've lived, I can't put a shovel on the ground without hitting rocks.
Yeah, yeah. That's what most of us are like. But it's no big deal. We can remove any rock that's bigger than a quarter or a golf ball. The rest of those rocks are fine in there. Then a little bit of amending the soil by bringing in a little bit of topsoil or adding peat moss to the existing soil, that breaks it up and it becomes a good planting ground. You can also add compost, rotted sawdust, old mulch even makes a good one. A lot of different materials to amend the soil with, make it better, and then we'll have a good planting area. Also, what I like to do, because our soil is kind of shallow, and then we hit that clay or hard pan, water doesn't like to run through those areas. So they can become wet spots. If you dig a hole in your yard and fill it up with water and it doesn't drain away in a 24-hour period, you have what we call poor drainage. So in those cases, we want to build the bed above ground. Instead of planting right at the surface, we want to build a mound to plant every plant. Matter of fact, I recommend that with any planting, is to build a mound. And it doesn't have to be big. Just a 6-inch high mound will be plenty to let most plants get established so that they can get used to our soil and be successful that way. So a mound is a great idea. And also because we can hit those real wet rainy seasons. Sometimes our winters become extremely wet. And of course, that's where a lot of plant failure can occur is when the roots are wet all winter long. We get a lot of rot, and of course, plants can fail that way. So that mound can help that drainage even through the winter. So that's my recommendation is to really build a mound, amend the soil as much as possible, get rid of any of those big rocks, and then plant that plant. Now, if you're planting a tree, since you have built the mound and amended the soil, I'm going to highly recommend that for the first year, you stake it. So you secure it so that when the winds come, it doesn't rock back and forth, because those first new roots that start to be produced are as thin as hairs. So anytime the top of the plant rocks back and forth, it's ripping some of those hairs. And of course, that makes it rough on the plant. So if we stake it to keep it from moving, then we'll be more successful in letting those root hairs become real roots. And of course, the plant will be a lot more successful and grow much quicker in the very beginning.
You know, you just kind of made my day, because now's the time of year. Well, and it might be even maybe a little too late, but if you go to some stores, a lot of things are on clearance.
Yeah.
You
see.
But you say it's the prime time to plant new plants.
Yeah. Take advantage of the clearance sale.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Sure.
Clearance is my middle name.
now you're going to have to check out that plant to make sure it isn't a plant that's been overly stressed and is half dead anyhow.
Right.
You know, but you're taking a chance there. Sometimes you can revive them. Sometimes you can't. A lot of times it's going to depend on how well you've prepared that planting site and then how well you've cared for it after that. And I've talked about it in other shows of how often to water and how much to water, you know, and Mother Nature's going to dictate a lot of that.
All right. And wouldn't you know, we're out of time.
Ah.
And we've made it through another gardening show. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Yep.
Shall we do it again?
Yep.
All right. Sounds like a plan. And we'll be back. And by the way, wanted to mention real quick, tomorrow, our big contest, Summer Survivor. And we're giving away a 7-day carnival cruise for two.
Ooh.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
To the Bahamas.
Oh, boy.
So that's going to be the grand prize there. So we'll see you at the Model T Inn. And that's tomorrow, 11 a.m. with Summer Survivor. There you go. With B107.5 FM. Hey, make it a great day, and we'll see you next time. The Gardening Show, WESB.